welcome back. I trust it was a restful day for all of you, as it was for us. If you would, open in your copies of God's Word to Psalm 113. Psalm 113. Tonight will be somewhat of an overview of the psalm, walking through it, somewhat more of an extended psalm explanation or meditation. So if you would, look at Psalm 113 with me, please. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth? He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that once again we get to come into your presence and listen to your word read and preached. Lord, once again we pray that as we close this day out with your worship, with coming into contact with you, that we would indeed be changed. We thank you for this day you've given us. We pray that we would seek you in it always and be prepared to live out the faith that we confess and is strengthened in this day the rest of the week. We thank you for your goodness towards us, and we do pray that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, how many of you know Hebrew? How many of you know a little bit of Hebrew? Well, what if I told you that every single one of you here knew at least one whole Hebrew sentence? Would you be surprised? Well, I can guarantee you that all of you do know one whole sentence in Hebrew. This psalm begins with the command to praise the Lord. In Hebrew, it goes like this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in English, we just make it into one word. Hallelujah. Hallel means praise. Hallelujah means you praise. It's a command. And Yah is the shortened form of the name Yahweh. So hallelujah means you praise Yahweh. You praise the Lord. Now you can wow all of your friends when you tell them that you know Hebrew. But enough with the Hebrew. What about the context of this psalm? Why was it written? Well, Psalm 113, along with 114 through 118, make up a collection of psalms called the Egyptian Hallel. Notice the word Hallel again, praise. So these are called the Egyptian praise psalms. These psalms were written and given to commemorate God's work of redemption as he brought his people out of Egypt. These psalms were sung each year at the Passover festival. You may remember in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 30, when it says that Jesus and his disciples sang a hymn. There was no John Wesley or Isaac Watts around yet to compose hymns. So when it refers to hymns, it's referring to one of these selections from the Egyptian Hallel. So it's pretty neat to think about whenever we sing one of these psalms, we're singing one of the same psalms Jesus himself sang that evening. Each one of these psalms begins or ends or has somewhere in the middle the phrase, praise the Lord. Or at least its content calls us to praise the Lord. God is commanding his servants to praise him because he is the one who brought them out of Egypt, who delivered them with a strong and mighty hand. These psalms were to remind the people why it is they ought to praise the Lord. And this command and reminder is extended to you and me as well. For we have experienced similar redemption. So it's my hope this evening that after looking at Psalm 113, you will give continuous praise to your exalted Lord. Because he has been gracious to you. This morning we talked about remembering God's grace towards us. This evening we'll talk about praising God for his grace towards us. And the first thing we see in this psalm is that the Lord commands you and me to praise Him. Look at what it says in verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, while all creatures have the innate responsibility and duty to render praise unto God, this psalm speaks particularly to the people and the saints of God. Look at what it says. It says, praise Him, servants of the Lord. As His servants, you and I have the special privilege of possessing God's holy word. And we have the ability to carry it out and understand it by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. And the Westminster Divines in their Shorter Catechism acknowledge that one of the main purposes of Scripture is to teach us what we're to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of us. And verse 1 of this psalm lays out our duty to God, and it's to praise Him. Now, God has this right to require this from all of His creatures because He is the Creator God. And Paul says in Romans 9 that He's the potter and everything else is the clay, and He has the right to do what He wills with His clay. But we especially have, as His servants, all the more reason to praise Him. But in order for us to fulfill this command with more than simple emotionalism or bare zeal, we need to understand what we're to believe concerning this God and whom we're to render praise. So who is the Lord that He should be praised? Well, your Lord is the exalted God over the nations. Look at verse 4. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Your Lord is not some imagined God or some idol created by man, but He is the supreme maker of heaven and earth. Isaiah chapter 40 describes Him as a God to whom none can be compared. Listen to Isaiah's words in chapter 40. To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare Him to? Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded that He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers? He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than He blows on them and they wither. And a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. And the reality of God's exalted status is undeniably seen in the book of Exodus, which this psalm calls to our remembrance. You see, it was your Lord who afflicted Egypt with the 10 plagues. And each one of those plagues was targeted and directed at one of the specific gods that the Egyptians worshipped. Each plague was to show that Yahweh, the Lord, was the one true living God of the universe. And all of these other gods were false and impotent and weak. See, the Egyptians believed in the god of the Nile. And your Lord defeated this god whenever he turned the Nile to blood. They believed in a god that would protect them from the locusts. And your Lord defeated her whenever He sent a swarm of locusts to devour the land. They believed in Ra, god of the sun. And your Lord defeated him whenever He cast darkness over the whole land. And even Pharaoh himself, who was considered to be a god, was cast down and destroyed in the Red Sea. God said to Pharaoh, even in Exodus 9, I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. And Moses sang later on that the horse and its rider, Pharaoh, was cast into the sea. All the Egyptian gods, as well as Pharaoh, were your Lord's enemies and enemies of the church. And likewise, death, that last great enemy of the church and of God, death itself has even been defeated when your Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead and took the victory. So praise your exalted Lord, because He is glorious and mighty. If He's defeated the gods and enemies of Egypt, if He's conquered death itself, what else have you to fear except God alone? God is truly exalted and high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. But your Lord also humbles himself. And he humbles himself to come to you. Look at how this psalm continues in verse 5 and 6. Who is like the Lord our God who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth? The question in verse 5, who is like the Lord our God, is the question that this whole psalm revolves around. This psalm is about answering this one question. We've already seen, as the second half of verse 5 indicates, that the Lord does dwell on high. But we also learn that he humbles himself low. He bows down to view the things in the heavens and in the earth. I just want you to think for a moment how high and exalted you would have to be to need to bow down to view the things in the heavens. This poetic imagery, this poetic language is really trying to drive home the point, isn't it? God is exalted. Your Lord is exalted. But this exalted Lord also humbles himself. And he humbles himself for you and for the church. You see, it was your Lord who bowed down and saw the suffering and miserable estate of his people while they were in bondage in Egypt. It was your Lord who came down as a pillar of cloud and fire and went with them as they wandered through the wilderness. It was your Lord who descended in glory into the temple amidst his worshiping church. It was your Lord who promised, I will be your God and you will be my people. And it was your Lord who didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking on the form of a servant and being found in the likeness of man, he became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Your Lord, God, has humbled himself to come to you, to come for you. And what has he done by his coming? Well, the psalm speaks of this as well. It talks about how your Lord has released you from bondage. Look at verses 7 and 8. He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. Now, to be poor in Old Testament times, or quite honestly, to be poor in any times, often means you're in subject to those who have more than you. And this was certainly the case with the Israelites in Egypt. They were slaves at the hands of the Egyptians, but the Lord declares that he is the one who raises the poor and needy out of the dust and ash. It's he who sets them in a position of prominence. And this is exactly what your Lord did when he raised his people out of bondage from Egypt. And he brought them out with all of the Egyptians' gold. And just as the Lord accomplished that in the life of the church then, he does so now in your lives. The Lord has released you from the bondage of your own sin and misery and has made you abundantly rich in Christ. You see, before you were redeemed, you didn't have communion with God. You were under his hot displeasure and curse, being by nature wicked and evil and in bondage to Satan. You were blind in your mind and hard in your heart, loving that which is detestable to God. And if it weren't for the grace of God, you and I would still be wallowing in this estate of sin and misery. Yet because of the love with which God loved you, while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. And just like God raises the poor out of the dust, he raised you up with Christ and seated you in the heavenly places with him, so that in the coming ages he might display his abundant kindness and mercy toward you in Jesus Christ. So praise your exalted Lord, for he has redeemed you from the pit and has given you newness of life. But this isn't all that Christ has done for you. This isn't all that the exalted Lord has done for you. Know also that he has taken away your shame. Look at this truth in the first half of verse 9. He grants the barren woman a home, like a joyful mother of children. Once again, in Old Testament times, and even into the New, for a woman to be childless was considered to be a shameful thing. Since children were considered to be blessings from the Lord, to be without them was an indication in that time that you weren't favored by God. Just think of Hannah in 1 Samuel, who was taunted and provoked and shamed by her husband's other wife. Hannah prayed to God that he would look favorably upon her. by taking away her shame and granting her a child. And the Lord vindicated her by making her a joyful mother of children. He granted this barren woman a home. You might be thinking, oh, wait a minute. Didn't she have a house to live in? Didn't she have somewhere to go and lay her head? Well, of course she did. She had a house. But when this verse speaks of granting her a home, it's speaking about a household or a family. That's why the verse goes on to say, like or as a joyful mother of children. Both lines are saying the same thing. So when the verse says that God grants the barren woman a home, the focus is on granting her a household full of children. And I don't want you to misunderstand the book of Psalms for worship when it says, in her home she finds reward. Or as the older book of Psalms put it, keeping house she finds reward. This verse is not talking about a home full of housework and chores. And it's only by a woman staying home and doing all of her chores and housework that she's going to find joy. That's not what this verse is talking about. But it's talking about actually having a home with children in it to take care of. But I don't want you to miss the point here. I don't want you to miss what this verse is trying to say. It says that God grants the barren woman children. In other words, God does something to take away her shame. And this is just what God in Christ has done for you. At one point, you, like Hannah, were taunted and provoked and shamed by another. Satan rubbed the shame and disgrace of your sin in your face. And perhaps like a barren woman of that time, you were thinking that you weren't favored by God. You had nothing to offer to Him. Perhaps you're thinking that you cannot be loved by God because of the sins you still commit, because of the things that you still do. Perhaps you think you've done something that cannot be forgiven. But I want you to know that the shame and disgrace of your sin has been taken away. It's been covered over by the blood of Jesus Christ. Your Lord Jesus hung naked on the cross as a visible representation of the shame He was bearing for you. He lived and died and bore the wrath of God for you so that when you do stand before God in heaven, all of the sin, all of the shameful things and disgraceful things you and I have done will not appear. But they've been covered over by the blood of Jesus Christ. And even now, you and I are clothed in His righteousness because we've placed our faith in Him. See, the Lord grants the barren woman a home as a joyful mother of children. And He grants a shame-filled sinner new life as a sinless saint of God. So what is your response to these things? What should be your response to these things? Well, the psalm gives us an answer, doesn't it? It goes on. It says that we should give continuous praise to our exalted and gracious God. Look finally at verses 2 and 3 in the last part of verse 9. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and from forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. Praise the Lord. There's only one thing to do in the psalmist's mind at this point, after he's considered who God is and what He has done. And it's simply to praise the Lord. But this isn't just a one-time thank you praise to God, but it's a continual life attitude. Look at how long and how often verse 2 says we ought to praise the Lord. From this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down. See, the response of a redeemed sinner ought to be a constant and continual life of praise to God. Indeed, the Apostle Paul commands us likewise when he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. I want you to imagine for a moment that you are suffering from a terrible disease which required the removal of your lungs. Without this surgery, you would surely die. And obviously, without lungs, you'll most certainly die. But suppose someone you knew decided to offer you one of their lungs, knowing that there have been a few cases in history where there's been a successful lung transplant and you could live off of one lung. Perhaps a close friend or family member, or maybe an enemy of yours, took pity on you, felt sorrow, and decided to offer part of himself to help you. How grateful would you be to this person for that? I'm just thinking how grateful we should be to the Lord who has done so much more. For while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, while we were at war with God, while we were enemies with God, He sent His Son to live and die for us. Your Lord came down from heaven and released you from bondage. He took away your shame. He suffered the fierce wrath and anger of God, which you deserved. And because of Him, you can live in glory forever. How thankful are you for this? Paul says in Romans 12, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Your whole life now ought to be given over as a thank offering to God for what He's done for you. And the psalm this evening calls for a continual and perpetual praise unto Him. So is the way you're living your life showing forth this kind of praise to your exalted Lord? Are you putting to death more and more your sin now that you've realized what Christ has done for you? Are you putting off the world more and more, the world that held you in bondage, now that you've been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you like the Israelites who were joyous at one moment for their redemption, but at the next worshiping an idol? Brothers and sisters, we're called to worship the Lord Jesus Christ alone, and to do so from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising to the setting of the sun. So how have you lived your life today? How will you live your life tomorrow? Will you just give Him a nod on Sunday and then go on to worship the idols of world and self the rest of the week? Or will you show your praise to your exalted Lord by living obediently to His commands? For it is your Lord and Savior who said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ by living every day in obedience to His law. Do this for who He is, and do this out of gratitude for what He has done for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord because you're commanded to. Praise the Lord because He's the exalted God over the nations and His glory is above the heavens. Praise the Lord because He's humbled Himself to come to you. And praise the Lord because He's released you from the bondage of your sin and misery. Praise the Lord because He's taken away your shame. Praise the Lord from this time forth and forevermore because He has been gracious to you. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You that You do indeed turn Your eye upon the lowly. You saw us in our pitiable state. Lord, You saw us when we were wallowing in our own sin and misery, and You had mercy on us. And we thank You that You don't just stay distant. You don't keep Your distance from us. But Lord, You descended and took on flesh to redeem a people for Yourself. And You gave us a promise to be our God and to take us as Your people. And we are so thankful that we can be brought into fellowship with You because of the work of Christ, that we can stand before You without any shame, having all of our sin taken away. We thank You that You have made us abundantly rich in Christ. You have seated us with the Prince of Your people, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You so much. And we pray, Lord, that we would live lives that are worthy of the gospel, that we would live lives that show forth our praise every day in everything that we do. Lord, give us the grace to do just that. For Your glory's sake, for Your honor's sake, for the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we praise. Amen. Let's close by singing Psalm